And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Now we've got Eleazar, the servant of Abraham, speaking in verse 56. And they said, the family of Rebekah, we will call the damsel and inquire of her. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, her sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands and millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way into the well Lahor-or, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventime, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And she had said unto the servant, What man is that that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Lord, we love you this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity we've got to be in God's house. We're thankful for the opportunity to be around these folks. Lord, now I pray that you'd help us in this time of preaching. Lord, help us to say something, God, that would be beneficial and helpful to somebody here today. Lord, God, would you help these people? God, if there's somebody here today with a need in their life, I pray that you would give them comfort. Somebody here not saved, I pray that you'd bring them under conviction. We'll bless you for what you do. We ask these things in your name, and amen, you can be seated. When we come to Genesis chapter number 24, this is quite a long chapter, but we come to an elderly Abraham. The Bible tells us in chapter 24 that Abraham is now 140 years old. If we do some math, that also will tell us the age of Isaac. Because if Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old and Abraham's now 140, that would tell us that Isaac was 40 years old. I believe that Isaac was the apple of his parents' eye. He was the fulfillment of the promises of God. These two parents loved Isaac with all of their hearts. In fact, I believe that they probably selfishly loved Isaac. And the reason I say that they're selfish in their love for Isaac is because up until this point, they've been so happy to have Isaac all to themselves that they have not considered Isaac's needs or his feelings. Isaac is 40 years old, and they've made no plans for his future in regards to finding him a wife. By this time, Isaac would need a wife to love and to build a home with. But Abraham and Sarah never considered this. But the Bible tells us something changes in chapter 24 that changes their selfish attitude. What takes place is that Sarah dies according to the first part of the chapter. And when Sarah dies, Abraham sees the sorrow of his son and he decides to make plans for his future. So Abraham calls his most trusted servant to his side and he instructs him to go out and find a wife for his son, Isaac. I want to preach a message this morning, and I'll give you my title and my thoughts here in just a second. But I want you to notice a few things out of chapter 24 by the way of introduction, and then we'll get to the message. I want you to see, first of all, by way of introduction, the typology of this story. The word typology means that this is a story of real people and real outcomes and real situations, but it pictures for us something bigger and something greater. There are four main characters in our story this morning. There is Abraham, who is a type and a picture of God the Father. There is his most trusted servant, Eleazar, who is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Then we have Isaac, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Rebecca, who is a picture of the bride of Christ. And Abraham, being a type of God, calls his servant to himself, and he gives him these instructions. I want you to go out to my kinsman, and there you'll find a bride for my son. And when you found her, I want you to woo her and draw her, and I want you to bring her with you so that one day she can come and be wed and joined to my son and be united with him forever. I'm sure you see the picture, but if you've missed it, let me point out the obvious. One day in eternity past, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit came up with a plan, and God told the Holy Ghost, he said, I want you to go out and I want you to find a bride for my son. I want you to woo her and draw her, and I eventually want you to bring her back with you so that they can be joined together and be wed throughout eternity. Hey, I'm glad for the good Holy Ghost of God that came by my way on February 23rd, 1993, a 14-year-old kid, and he come where I was, and he wooed me, and he drawed me, and he invited me to come away with him so that I could be united with Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? I see the typology of this. The Bible says that when Abraham calls Eleazar, he tells him he wants him to go out and find a bride. And Eleazar, under the obedience of his master, goes forth. He goes back to the country that Abraham came from. The Bible tells us when Eleazar gets there, we don't have time to read all this. When Eleazar gets there, he comes to a well, Brother Eddie. And when he gets to the well, he begins to pray. And he says, God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send me the woman that is right for Isaac. And I want you to, maybe when she gets here, God, could you just let her offer to get me some water out of that well and offer to give my camels water also so that I'll know it's her. Boy, I like specific prayers, don't you? I think we don't pray specific enough nowadays. He said, I want her so I'll know it's her. I want her to want to give me some water and my camels also. And before Eleazar can even say in Jesus' name, amen, the Bible says here comes a little girl by the name of Rebecca. And she begins to get water out of that well. And Eleazar looks at her and says, ma'am, would you mind getting me some water too? And she said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll not only get some water for you, but if you want to just sit right over there, sir, I'll get some water for your camels also. God had answered that prayer. Hey, I think that God was moving now. And Eleazar, with excitement in his soul and happiness in his soul, he asked if he can lodge with her family. So Rebecca takes him home. These men bring the camels with them. They sit over dinner and discuss everything that Eleazar has in his heart. How he's come to find a bride. How he's prayed and God has answered that prayer. And now he thinks Rebecca's the one. And he wants her to go home with him and be wed to Isaac. The Bible says this in verse number 5. And the servant said to him, peradventure, the woman will not go with me into the land. Must I bring thy son again unto the land from whence I came? I like this. Eleazar, when he's talking to Abraham, he says, Abraham, now, what if I get over there and the woman doesn't want to come with me? And Abraham says, well, I tell you what, you don't make her come if she don't want to come. You just come on back. But I believe that my God will supply the need. Can I pause for a minute and say this? My God is a perfect gentleman, and he will not make anybody come to him that does not want to come. I don't believe this Calvinistic nonsense that says you can be minding your own business at work one day and God just overpower you and force you to get saved. I don't believe that garbage for a second. Amen. I believe God's a perfect gentleman. He woos us and he draws us. But you better mark it down. He will not force anybody at any point to accept Jesus Christ if they don't want to. So here they sit. I see the typology. Here they sit at dinner. And Eliezer says, I want to bring Rebekah back. I think that she's the one. But I see not only the typology, I see a temptation. As they're sitting there and Eliezer says, I think she's the one. Verse 55, the Bible says, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. They said, we don't mind Rebekah going back with you, Eliezer, but we just don't want her going right now. If this story is a typology, a picture of the way the Holy Ghost calls to a sinner, then verse 55 is the way that the adversary, the enemy, battles that sinner and tries to convince that lost person not to go back with God, not to make a commitment with God. When God's Spirit comes to a person and He calls them to go away, He calls them to be saved, immediately something will pop up in that person's mind that will say, you can get saved, but you don't have to get saved tonight. You can get saved, but why don't you get saved next Sunday? We don't mind you going, but why don't you just wait a few days? I don't mind you giving in to God, but you don't have to give in to God right now. Hey, the problem is this, and I'll move on here in a second. I'll get to my message, but I'm getting somewhere. Hey, the problem is this. Y'all listen to me real close. Eliezer was leaving in the morning. With or without Rebekah, those camels were leaving and they were heading back to where Abraham was. If Rebekah wanted to go, she could go. He wanted her to go. But if Rebekah said no, he was not coming back in 10 days like the family wanted him to. He was pulling out, he was leaving Dodge, and she could go or she could not go. Can I say that it is dangerous when the Holy Ghost comes by your way and He speaks to your heart about salvation? He says, today is your day. This morning is your morning. Tonight is your night. It is dangerous, good neighbor, to tell the Holy Ghost no, because it may very well be that His camels are pulling out in the morning. He's going back tomorrow, and next Sunday may never come. Another opportunity may never come. Another invitation may never be given. If you don't go with Him now, you may never go. It's dangerous telling the Holy Ghost no. I see the typology. I see the temptation, but I see a testimony. Verse 20, chapter 24, verse 57, 58. And they said, we'll call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said to her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Boy, I'm glad she made that decision, aren't you? How wonderful it is she said, I'll go. I don't think Rebekah ever regretted this decision. This decision meant that she'd leave her family behind. She would leave her old life behind. She would follow after a man that was a stranger. This decision took courage and it took strength, but something inside of her said, it's right, it's right, it's right. And by faith, Rebekah said, I will go. Hey, I'm glad that's what God, that's all He wants from us. When He calls and when He woos and when He draws and when He convicts, I know it's a scary thing and I know it's a hard thing and I know you got to leave the old man behind and leave the old things behind, but there's something inside saying, it's right. It's right. It's right. And by faith we say, yes, God, I'll go. Yes, God, I'll be saved. Yes, God, I'll follow you. Best decision of your life. With all that said, we pick up in verse 59. I can picture in my mind Rebekah as she nervously packs that night. In the morning, she'll be going with a stranger to a place that she's never been. She's excited to not start this new chapter in her life. She's excited to meet Isaac and she's excited to meet Abraham. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but my guess is that Rebekah was probably the first one up the next morning. That morning, the servants begin to pack her things on the camel while she kisses her family goodbye. And with tears running out of her eyes and joy in their hearts, she waves goodbye to that old life. And I can picture as the servant helps her up on the camel and they begin that long journey back home. And this was a long journey. It was 500 miles from Laban's house back to where Abraham was. The average camel loaded down for a trip in these days could travel 20 miles in one day. If I'm doing my math right, that means she's got a 25-day journey ahead of her. This is a journey that'll take days. But I can almost see them as they leave that little city and those buildings begin to fade into the distance. I can almost hear Rebecca as she leans up on that camel to Eleazar, and this is probably what she said. Hey, Eleazar, how much longer till we get there? Amen. The servant says, oh, honey, it's a 500-mile journey. We got 25 days. It's going to take a while. But she's excited. And they travel for a few miles and a few hours, and she leans up and she says, now, Eleazar, how many days did you say it was? How long are we getting closer now? Are we almost there? Y'all got small kids. You know what it's like when you travel long distances, don't you? They're excited. They're excited to get to the beach. They're excited to get on vacation. They're excited to get to that place. And they'll ask you over it. And it doesn't matter how many times you say, it's going to be a while. We still got hours to go. We still got a long time to go. They're so excited. They just want to know, are we almost there? I want to preach for a few minutes on this thought. Are we almost home? Are we almost home? You may not see it with your eyes this morning, but I've been on a journey now for almost 20 years. Since a 14-year-old kid, I'm 37 now. Since I was a 14-year-old kid, God come into my life and He saved me. And He began to tell me about that new country and that new home. And I got into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And over the years, there's been something inside of me that every once in a while just wells up. And it says, are we almost home? Are we almost there? I don't think it'll be too many more days, do you? If you'll give me just a few more minutes, I want to show you three things that I think maybe, I don't know, but in my mind's eye, I think maybe these are three things that caused Rebecca to say, are we almost home? I want you to notice this, number one. I think that probably suffering caused her to say, are we almost home? Anytime you go on a long journey, it's hard. I'm not the best traveler. I'll be honest with you. I'm not. I try my best to go on vacation as close to Dandridge, Tennessee as I can get it. Because I don't like, some people, you know, they can just get in a car and they can drive all day just as happy as a lark. Not this old boy. I want to get there and I want to get out. Amen. And a 500-mile journey in a car with air conditioner and a radio and padded seats is hard on me. But 500 miles on a camel, can you imagine that? Hey, you've heard the song, you've been through the desert on a horse with no name. She's driving through the desert with a camel, baby. She's going 500 miles. That was a hard journey. That was a long journey. Hey, those desert days were known for the blistering sun. And that sun would beat down on you and it would be miserable. But in the desert, the nights would be bitter cold. And sometimes in the heat and sometimes in the cold, I can hear Rebecca as she leans up and says, Eliezer, are we almost home? Are we getting close to home now? How much longer is it till we get home? The nights would get cold and she would say, are we almost home? And the days would be hot and she would say, are we almost home? Hey, I'm telling you, there are some things in the life of the child of God, sufferings in the life of the child of God. And I believe when those things come, there's something inside of us that says, are we almost home? Hey, there have been days when the sun was so hot you didn't know if you could stand it. And there were days when the nights were so cold you wondered how much longer could you last? How many more nights could you get through like this? And those sufferings caused something in your heart to long for a better country, long for a better home, long for a better place where you'll never have to go through hot days and cold nights. Sufferings will be a thing of the past when we get over home. Well, you think about the day that we live in. Do you understand that in today's society, 1 in 10 people suffers from depression? 3,000 people will commit suicide today because they're faced with depression. You understand that that's 125 people killing themselves every hour that you live for no other reason than the fact that they're depressed. The job loss in America is at an all-time rate. Hospitals are full. Children are leaving home at an alarming pace. Crime is at an all-time high. And in these troublesome times, it is hard and it is hot. Sometimes it is difficult. But we as the children of God can rest assured that it won't be too many more days before we move over and get our brand new home. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You know what that tells me? It tells me we're living in perilous days, dangerous days. But it also tells me that we're almost home. The journey's almost over with. Hey, isn't the last leg of the journey always the hardest? You start out and that first hour just flies by. But it seems like that last hour will never get around. It can never get there soon enough. You're weary and you're sore. Your legs are falling asleep and you're tired. Hey, I'm telling you, you may be tired this morning, and it may be hard this morning. There may be difficulties this morning, but that just means you're one step closer home. The journey's almost over. Home is just around the corner. In 1868, a pharmacist named Sanford Fillmore Bennett was filling prescriptions and handling sales at his apothecary in Wisconsin. And the story says that his friend Joseph Webster entered the store, and Joseph was a local musician, a vocalist, a violinist, an amateur composer, but he was a man that suffered with terrible bouts of depression. On this particular day, Joseph was unusually blue and his face was long, and looking up, Sanford asked, "What's the matter now, Joseph?" "It's no matter," Joseph replied, "it'll all be better by and by." And when he said that, an idea hit Sanford like a flash of sunlight. Sitting behind his desk, he began to write as fast as he could. The words came almost instantly. Two customers entered the drugstore, but no attempt was made to assist them. Sanford was too absorbed in his poem. "Here's your prescription, Joe," he said. "I hope it works." And Joe Webster took that piece of paper, and this is what he read. "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." Hey, I don't know what you're suffering with today, but I can assure you the journey's almost over. The miles are almost past. We've come too far now to lose. We've come too far to give up and turn back now. Might as well keep serving. Might as well keep going. The journey, it's almost over. Well, I wonder if sufferings didn't cause Rebecca to say, "Are we almost home?" I thought about this, number two. I wonder if separation didn't cause Rebecca to say, "Are we almost home?" I don't know exactly what Rebecca and Eleazar did for the 500 miles and 25 days that they journeyed together. I can only use my imagination, but in my mind's eye, I can picture as they begin to talk. They probably talked about the family, her new family. I could picture Eleazar as he tells Rebecca all about Isaac. He probably said something like this: "Isaac's a mild-mannered man. He's a peace-loving man who'll go out of his way to avoid a fight. He's one who likes to meditate and he doesn't jump to quick decisions. He's quiet and he's reserved. He's not quite as great a man as his father, Abraham, but he's a man filled with faith and a man filled with love for his God. Best of all, God has promised him great nations and many children." Maybe the servant begins to tell her stories of Abraham and Sarah. I can hear as Eleazar recounts the story of Abraham and Sarah's depravity. Maybe he tells her about the years that they waited for God to give them a child. Maybe Eleazar told her the story of the morning that Abraham got up and announced to the family that he was taking Isaac on top of Mount Moriah to worship with him up there. And the fear that they all experienced when they realized that Abraham did not have a sacrifice. I'm sure the more that the servant talked, the more Rebecca longed to see these people. And I would imagine that after several miles and several stories, she probably started feeling like she'd known these people all her life. Inside of her, there was a longing to see these people that she had never met. She wanted to see these people so bad that I wonder if she didn't lean up and say, "Are we almost home?" I don't think I would be stretching things to say that probably all of us have stood at the casket of somebody that we loved that's gone on before us. Maybe a mother, a father, maybe a grandparent, a spouse, maybe a child, I don't know. But standing there at that casket, you couldn't help but long for a better country. You couldn't help but long for a day when you could see that loved one again. This was a feeling that you never got away from. It was something that you've never moved on from. There were days when it seemed like you would miss that person so bad that it would physically hurt. There were days when tears would fill your eyes and memories would flood your soul, and you just couldn't help but long for a day when you could just say goodbye down here and say good morning over there, and you could hug that loved one again, and you could hold hands and walk down the street of gold, and you could go visit the throne room together and put your feet in the crystal water and talk for all eternity. And you long for that home, and you long for that place. And in those days and in those hours, something inside says, "Boy, I wish I could go on home. How much longer is it now, God? How many more days will it be till I make that crossing and I go to the other side? Are we almost home?" Boy, I thought about that great promise over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. And the Bible says, "And therefore we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Boy, that's a good promise. Not only are we going to be with Him, but we're going to be with them. Amen. I'm glad that when we get there, we'll be together. We'll never have to say goodbye over there. We'll never have to depart from one another over there. Because that's a land of eternity. That's a land of forever. That's one big long day when we get to the other side. And there'll be no more tears and no more caskets and no more cemeteries. And we can see those loved ones again. Hey, I'll tell you, it's longing. We're longing for a day when we're almost home. I thought about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Paul said, "Now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face." He said, "For we shall be known even as we are known." You know, heaven will be a wonderful place. It'll be wonderful because Jesus is there. But it'll be wonderful because those loved ones are there. And when we've probably all thought this, we've all wondered, I wonder if I'll know them when I get over there. Will I know my mama? Will I know my daddy? Will I know my spouse? That little child that I lost before it was born, will I know them? That small casket that we had to lay in the ground, will we know each other? But I believe we'll know each other just like we're known today. Hey, we'll know each other. I believe I'll know her as being Davina Sharp, that she was my spouse upon this earth. Eric, I think I'll remember you as being my cousin. I believe that. I'll know you the way I know you today. I will know as we are known. Hey, I'm glad for that, aren't you? In fact, I believe I'm going to a place where I'm going to know more then than I do now. Don't you believe that? And if I know them now, why wouldn't I know them then? In fact, I'll know you better then than I know you today. I'll know you greater. greater than I knew you now. Hey, I'm telling you, I believe that there was some suffering, but I also believe there was some separation that's made Rebecca say, I want to get home. Are we almost home? I've got one more thought. Let me give it to you quickly and I'll get out of the way. I believe suffering caused her to say, are we almost home? I believe that separation caused her to say, are we almost home? But I believe that the Savior caused her to say, are we almost home? Now watch this. If our typology is true, then Isaac's a picture of Jesus Christ. It was him that the servant went out to get the bride for. He's a picture of Jesus Christ, and Rebecca's a picture of the church. I'm sure that Rebecca wanted to see Abraham. Maybe she wanted to meet the other servants that was there at the house. But I can promise you this. There was one person that she wanted to see more than anybody else. And that was Isaac. She wanted to meet Abraham and she wanted to meet the servants. But she had already started to fall in love with Isaac. She wanted to see him. Isaac was the one she'd fell in love with, although she had never met him face to face. Isaac was the one that she'd spend the rest of her life with. He had become the lover of her soul. I could almost picture as she begins to daydream about Isaac. I wonder if she thought to herself, I wonder what he'll look like. I wonder what his voice will sound like when I hear it for the very first time. Maybe she began to imagine in her mind what that marriage ceremony would be like. There were so many things that she did not know about him, but yet there was something inside of her that longed to be where he was, that longed to be with him. Though she had never met him face to face, she loved him. Though she had never heard his voice, she loved that voice. And though she had never seen his face, she loved that face. And she wanted to see him. She wanted to see him. And she said, are we almost home? How much longer till I can see him? How much longer till I can hold him? How much longer till I can touch him for the very first time? Are we almost home? The Bible teaches us that one day, Isaac goes out to meditate. It's evening time. The work day is all through. The jobs of that day are over with. And he finds a nice, calm place to sit and meditate. And when Isaac goes out there to meditate, he sees something out on the horizon. It's a caravan of camels and they're coming in his direction. Somewhere in that herd of camels, there's Rebecca. And as they pull over that hillside, and in the horizon, she sees a man standing all by himself in an open field. And I wonder if when she sees that man standing, she's never met him, she's never seen him before. But something inside of her soul leaps and it jumps. And she leans up to Eleazar and she says, sir, I know I've bugged you a lot, but sir, could you answer me one more question? Who is that? And Eleazar says, oh, honey, that's him. That's him. That's him. And the Bible says she lighted off that camel. That means she fell down off that camel and she runs to where he's at. And I believe she probably fell down at his feet and she began to hug him and be with him and maybe even worship him. Hey, I'm telling you, neighbor, it's just a little while longer, just a few days longer. And in the horizon, we're going to see him. Somewhere in the distance, we're going to see him. And we've never seen him before. We've never heard his voice before. We've never laid eyes on him before. But I believe when he steps out on those clouds, steps out on that horizon, something inside of us is going to say, that's him. That's him. That's him. And we're going to be with him for all eternity. That's him. Boy, I thought about this. The Bible says she lighted off her camel. That word lighted means she fell down on the ground. The Bible says in Revelation 4:10, it says, "And the 24 fell down and worshipped him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasures they are and were created." Hey, I believe when we get over to the other side and we see Him for the first time, we're going to light at His feet. We're going to fall down at His feet, and we're going to worship Him forever. Amen. I wonder if Rebecca didn't say, "Are we almost home?" The Bible says this. It says that she lighted off her camel. But before she did one more thing. Scripture says that she took her veil and she put her veil over her face. You see, Rebecca did this to give honor to Isaac. She didn't want anybody seeing her face before Isaac got to see her face. And she put that veil to cover her face up. And I believe heaven will be a wonderful place. I believe heaven will be a place we'll get to see our loved ones again, those that have gone on. But I believe before we see them, there's one that we'll want to see more than any other. Amen. Oh, we want a fellowship with Mom and Dad. We want a fellowship with those siblings that have gone on. But before we go see them, there'll be one we want to go see first. And that's our heavenly Isaac. That's him. Can you imagine that day that you hear his voice for the first time? I hope he says to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Can you imagine what it'll be like to just be in his presence for the very first time? Oh, we've got a little bit of it down here, but nothing like what we're going to get over there. Amen. Moses always, over and over, said, "God, I'd like to see your glory. Could you show me your glory?" And God would always have to reply, "No, Moses, I can't do that. You can't see my glory and live." Amen. And the little piece that he did give him, Brother Wally, changed him forever. Amen. We've got a little piece down here. We've just got some of those crumbs that fall from the table down here. Oh, but when we get over there, we'll see him as he is. We'll be in his presence for the first time. We'll look upon his face for the first time. We'll see those hands that have those nail prints in them and that side that's been wounded. We'll fall down at those nail-scarred feet and we'll worship him for all eternity. Are we almost home? I believe we're almost there. Child of God, I believe we're almost there. I wonder why they come to get a song of invitation. Let me ask you a question this morning. I believe the journey's almost over with. The work day's almost through. I believe it won't be too many more days before we wave goodbye down here, say goodbye over there. So my question this morning for you is, are you ready? You ready?